I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that there are some people who are saved because God decided right in the beginning that that person will be saved and that that person will not be saved? He will go to hell. God ordained that right in the beginning. Who of you believe that is the case? Come, be honest. Who of you believe that right in the beginning, God wanted everyone to be saved, but it's our choice? Okay. About 1550, there was a guy called Calvin, and he said basically the following, that it's some people are meant to go to hell, and some people are meant to go to heaven. This is basically, I just want to sum it up in my, I'm not very theological, but that's basically what he said. And then he had a student, and his student again after that said, Arminus, he said, no, but it's man's choice to get saved or not. And Jan Kreer came into my office the other day, and I just knew this is something that I had to ask, because we have a mindset that some people, it doesn't help us talking to them about Christ because they're not going to go to heaven anyway. And it sort of makes us a bit lazy to go and talk to people about Christ because God has determined that right in the beginning. I want to show you a video clip. If the guys can just put off the lights at the back as well, of Reinhard Bonnke, if you can just show that quickly.
God's own image in man was the image of love. Until the storms of sin ruffled the waters and the reflection was distorted. But God was not outwitted. He invested all he had for everyone who ever lived. Through the ages, impassionate men and women have lived and died to preach Christ and his salvation to all tribes and nations. The love of God in a man's soul is 100 times finer and more noble than any motive that has ever driven him. To know the love of all loves is the secret of all secrets. My friend, I'm here to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is not a pleasure boat, but a lifeboat for saving souls. And every hand is needed on deck.
Can we just pray? Yes, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord. Thank you for the price you've paid, Lord. But Father, I pray, Lord, that today, Lord, you open our eyes, Lord, and your Spirit will come upon us, Lord, that we will have the heart and the mind of Christ, Lord, to do what you have called us to do, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to welcome the ladies from Standerton here that came. It's really amazing to have you here. They've been praying for us before, and now they were blessed with a women's conference, and all the ladies that went to the women's conference, apparently it was really amazing, but it's really great to have you guys here. I wanted to post on Facebook yesterday, help, I'm surrounded by awakened women, but I was scared that some of my unsaved friends would start commenting as well, and that could have been a bit dangerous, so I left that message out completely. Yeah. The Owens that I'm still wanting to get into the boat. 1 Timothy 2 verse 3 and 4 says, it is pleasing and it's good and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior that all men should be saved and to come to the knowledge of who He is. And this doesn't only include that people must get saved, but it must come to the fullness of who He is, that they come to a place of being baptized, of being Spirit-filled, of walking in the abundance of what God has called us for. And I think many times we just think people must get saved and then it's fine and we let them go. But God wants much more for all of us. He wants all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of who He is. But the problem, the way I see it is, you know, in Europe apparently what happens is because of the humanist mindset and the worldview of humanism, people become very lazy and they become very focused on themselves. So they are too lazy to have children. Because face it, children is hard work. When you look at Yaku, you can see the guam on his mo. Did he clean it already? So where did that come from? And where's Brian this morning? He didn't sleep last night because of their baby that was keeping them awake. there's a massive blessing in having children, but it's really hard work. And many Europeans have come to a place where they actually say, "Hey, we don't want children anymore because we go running or we go skiing or whatever we go, and it's actually interfering with what we want to do." But the problem in Europe is that so many people from Turkey and Morocco and Pakistan, Islam people, came into Europe and they're having 6 to 8 children per family. And some people predict in 15 to 30 years, Europe will become a Muslim or Islam continent because of people who don't have a heart to have children anymore. They're not even Christians. They will move completely. They will be removed completely. And the whole continent will become an Islam continent. Now, I think the same happens in the spirit as well. We become lazy to have spiritual children, to invest in people. We want them to get saved, but then we leave them there. We don't want to invest the time in them so that they can grow up to become spirit-filled believers, that they can be removed, that they can go and have children again. So what we're doing in the spirit is exactly what is happening in Europe. Islam is coming over and it's taking over where Christ was. And it's to see where Acts started and where all the churches was planted in Acts, it's funny to see how Islam is coming and taking all those cities, and that's all become Muslims. And now they're coming for Europe. And they're probably going to succeed the way they are going on. And you know, the funny thing about Europe is people have such a heart for the spiritual, to experience power, that they've opened themselves up to the occult, Harry Potter and the Twilight Zone and all those things, because people have a hunger for the supernatural. But the God who is the God of the supernatural, they've rejected him completely because they've gone for the humanist mindset. But let's go back to the beginning. Where did it all start? God created heaven and earth. And he said to men, he created men, and he said, God blessed them and he said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it and have dominion over everything. So God gave us everything and he said, rule over everything. And then Eve came and she got seduced by Satan, the snake, and she ate of the fruit and then she gave her husband to eat. And then here in Matthew 3 verse 17, and I believe this is a word for some of the men, and God said to Adam, because you've listened to the voice of your wife and you've eaten of the tree, I'm cursing the ground. And you know what I realized is that men, we shouldn't listen to our wives. We must listen to God. You can talk to your wife and say, my leaf, what do you think God is saying to us? And if you're in agreement, that's different. But if you listen to your wife, if your wife says, I want to go to that church because the children's church is better there. But God may be saying to you, no, I want you to serve there. Don't go where your wife is telling you, go where God is telling you to go. And I think this is just a word that I really believe is for some of us, that we don't go, that we don't have this consumer mentality to go where it's pleasing to me, but we go to where God has called you to be. And then when you take the story, Jesus comes and Satan takes him to the highest mountain and he shows him in Matthew 4, he shows him all the kingdoms and he says, if you bow down and worship me, I will give all of this to you. And Jesus didn't say to you, it's not yours to give, because it was, because the dominion was going to given to Satan. He didn't, he continued, but Jesus didn't, he just said, he rebuked him in the word, but the solution came later on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, he was the Lamb of God. When he died for our sin, he took all sin on him. He broke the curse and he became completely, he broke, sorry guys, I just want to just get myself together again, the word again. So Jesus came, he died on the cross and he stood up and all sin was broken, all curse was broken and the dominion was given to Christ again. Christ was given the dominion. And Hebrews 12 says that Jesus is the founder and perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's sitting on the right hand of God. So the solution was that Jesus came, he died on the cross so that we don't have to walk in the lifestyle of shame and of this curse anymore. And the result of this is that when we believe in Christ, we become a new creation. In 2 Corinthians 5 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, you become a new creation. The old has passed and the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So what Jesus came to do is Jesus came to reconcile us back to God. And then he said, now I'm giving you the ministry of reconciliation. In other words, you've been given this ministry. Now go and fetch other people and bring them back to me because I want them to be reconciled to me again. This is the ministry of reconciliation that God has given to us. Then verse 19 says, In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting the trespasses against them and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. So he doesn't, now he takes our sin away, but he says, you go and be, and go and reconcile people back to me. And this is what God's heart is, that we, and this word that I have is, we have worldview. Some people have a humanist worldview, some are communist, some are socialist, some are capitalist. But God wants us to have a kingdom view, not a world view, but a kingdom view, that what we do is all according to what the Word of God is saying. And not one page on the grace message or on the prosperity message, but everything that is written in the Word of God, that everything that we do is according to the Word of God, that whatever we do is because our minds have been renewed, that we walk according to what God's Word is saying and not to what the people are saying. Because we in the West, and face it, our church has been influenced about with humanism. We feel we have a right. We have a right. And God says, no, we don't have a right. You lost your right when I died on the cross. When you come to me, you lose your right. Then it's what I am telling you to do. That is what God is saying. This is the mindset that God wants us to have. That we, when we talk about evolution in the church, they say, but we developed over millions of years ago. But the Word of God said, no. More or less 6,000 years ago, I created heaven and earth and everything that was in it in 6 days. When we talk, and many people say, no, but God used millions of years to do it. But when you read the word carefully, it's not what God is saying. Or we're talking about abortion. And people say, but your baby is only a baby after 3 weeks or 4 weeks or 3 months, whatever the case might be. But God's saying, no, your baby is, when your baby is conceived, that's a baby already. When you abort it, you're murdering your child. You are killing a child. And that child has a purpose, and you're murdering the Bible, but you're murdering your child. But we have been so conditioned by the world to think differently. The whole thing about homosexualism, people say, you know, we must have grace and we must love, and that's all that God is saying. But God is saying it is wrong. We must allow our minds to be reconciled to God's heart, that we have the mind of Christ, and we don't have a mind that's been influenced by the world anymore. And this will come when we come and spend time with God, because God's heart is love. God is love. He's given everything that he had, God, because he loved us. But he's given us this commandment that we must love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our strength, and love one another as ourselves. But then he says, I give you a new commandment. John 13 verse 34 says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also ought to love one another. So God's love should give us or compel us to go and love people around us. And this is, if we understand the love that God has for us, we could not help us but to go and love people around us. If you're not in that place, and he challenged us so much on Tuesday. He's not here this morning, but on Tuesday evening with Bible school discipling, he just said to us, if you don't have the heart of Christ, have you met Christ? And that really challenged me, because we so many times say things and we do things, but we're not compelled by the love of God. And he said, you know, we say we become Christians and then the Holy Spirit is in us. But then he says, when you see a tree, what is the evidence of wind? You can see the leaves are moving. We don't see the leaves moving, but we say the Holy Spirit is in us. We say the wind is blowing, but there's no leaves that is blowing. the evidence of the Holy Spirit is power, it's healings, it's people speaking in tongues, it's people prophesying, it's loud because people fall over because of the Spirit is there. You see the Spirit is there because the trees are moving, not because we read it in the Bible, and I've given my heart to Christ, and now I'm saying I am a Christian, and the Holy Spirit is in me because that is what the Word says. Do we see the leaves? Are the leaves moving? And go and read Acts. I really want to just encourage you to go and read Acts. People see angels. People see massive miracles that happen because they've become Christians. They become disciples of God. Out of this love that comes, God gives us a commission. And this is the commission that He's giving to us in Matthew 28. And what Henny said that really took me by surprise is how many times it says the word all. All authority has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, not just the white Afrikaans people, but of everyone. Observe all that I've commanded you, not just the grace message or the prosperity message, but all of this word. And look, I'll be with you always. Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me, not to us, but to Him. So if we abide in Him, we stand in the authority that Christ has given us. So the authority is not ours. The authority is when we stand in Christ. When we're in Christ, we will stand in the authority that He's giving us. Now, Henny gave us this grammar lesson, and I'm not going to try and repeat it because I won't be able to. But this thing, go, is not the verb. Basically what it means is as you go, you make disciples. The main verb is making disciples. That God says we must make disciples of all nations. How do we make them? We baptize them and we teach them to observe all that He has commanded us. And behold, I'll be with you wherever you go. So the main thing that we should do as Christians is to make disciples. If you are a Christian, and the word Christian was only given much later on into the Church of Antioch, people were called disciples. So if you're a disciple, you should have disciples, according to the Word of God. So if you don't have a disciple, Henny asked us, are you a disciple? So that was quite challenging to me. But before I put any condemnation on you, there is a place of coming and there's a place of going. If you're a new Christian, you've come to Christ. And He says in Matthew 11, verse 28, come to me, you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Many people are broken, they hurt, they're in a bad place. They come to Christ and He gives them rest and He starts building them up. There's this lady in our church, I don't see her now, so I can maybe, I'm not going to skin her for now, but she's gone through a really, really tough time. But what is so amazing, she went to work and there's something terrible happened at work, and she said to this lady, look, I'll pray for you, because we've prayed for her and God came through so many times for her. She prayed for this lady, and just the next day, that thing that they prayed for came through and her life changed completely, because she's starting to learn about the power of God, to stand in faith, to know that when you pray, God answers the prayers. But then there's a place, Matthew 14 verse 19, where Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. So if you follow Christ, He will make you fishers of men. And as you walk, you will say, come. Because this is as we follow Christ. And I'll say, come. And as we follow, He says, if I follow Christ, I will be someone that makes fishers of men. They will want to come with me because I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple. That will come because I am in Christ. And, you know, just the word I really believe to you is, I want to ask with you is, if you do not have a heart for the lost, did you really experience Christ? Or are you in Christ if you don't have a heart for the lost? Because God wants fathers and sons, mothers and daughters. He wants the Pauls to disciple the Timothys. And He wants the Naomis to disciple the Ruths. Where the Ruths come and say, your God will be my God and your people will be my people. And I believe this is a word for the women as well. Where they come to a place because they've been discipled properly. And I must be honest with you. As a church, we don't get this right. We don't disciple people because we've become lazy. We've become Europeans in our way of thinking. But 2 Timothy 2 verse 2, and this is Louis' favorite verse. But it says, Paul says to Timothy, what you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach us also. So Paul taught Timothy. Timothy must go and find faithful men, and he must impart in the faithful men, and those men must be able to impart in others as well. That is the trait of a disciple. When you've been discipled, someone taught me, and the thing that Henny also shared with us is a disciple. Maybe I want to share with you what Henu said. Henu said the Greeks loved to sit at the feet of their teacher and just listen to what this man was saying to them, and he would hear. But the Jews were different. They wanted to become the teacher. And this is what God wants us to do. When we're being taught, we must become like our teacher. We must become like Christ. And when Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ, I take someone and say, don't look at me. Look at me. I'm trying and aspiring to be like Christ. And this is where God wants us. So I go, I fetch someone, and I bring them in. And if you're not in that place, I want to ask you, have you met the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to a place where you've experienced Him, where you know the King of Kings, or is it all only in your mind? Because, you know, when a child is born, and it starts with born again, you might be 50, you might be 60 years old. When you get born again, you are a baby, and you need milk. And we're going to give you milk, and you must get milk, and then you want to go to the... You'll make your nappy dirty, and your mother will have to give it away, and I'll put a new one on, and I'm die vinde uitgevry word, and then you sleep. And there's a lot of that. But then they become toddlers, and they start helping themselves, and they can brush their teeth, and you teach them, and they go up. And then your children get married, and you're almost relaxed, and then they get children. Now you know, you can relax because they have no responsibility, because they can look after their own children. My mother shared with me, there was this lady, she's in her 90s, and she said she can now sleep at night because her youngest daughter is now also in the old age home. So, but God wants us to have children. He wants us to have spiritual children that we can grow these children. And the thing is, Matthew 12 verse 33 says, a tree will be known by its fruit. And what Henny said, an apple tree doesn't go... And then the apple comes. It just comes naturally. That's with babies. That's where it happens. But apple trees just sit because they're healthy. They have apples. Disciples should be the same. Because you're healthy, you should have disciples to lead people to Christ. But the thing is, there's choices. And we've got to make the choices. Luke 9 verse 23 says, if anyone come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. So this is not an easy thing to do, because he says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. It's not one of those where we go, if you feel you want to give your heart to Jesus, put up your hand, and then we say, okay, if you've put up your hand, come forward, and we pray for you and pray the sinner's prayer with you, and now you're a Christian, now you're okay. That's not a Christian yet. You just made a decision to come forward, to start the walk, to come to Christ. What you must do, as you go after God, you must deny yourself. You must take up your cross daily and follow Him. And there's a cost involved. And as Louis said the other night, there's a cost involved. It will take time and it will take effort to disciple people, to make children. As it takes with your children, it takes time and takes effort to teach your children, for them to grow up. But Jesus in Luke 13 tells this parable of a man that plants a fig tree, and then there's no fruit on the tree. And he goes to the vine dresser and he says to him, look, there's no fruit on my tree. What must I do? And the vine dresser said, cut it off. It's taking place. After 3 years, he didn't have fruit, so I cut it off. So there is a place that you as Christian don't have fruit. This parable says, cut it off. Jesus says, count the cost. We must count the cost. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. And I want to say to you this morning, there's people who are drowning. People are drowning. And Jesus said in Luke 15, that if you have 100 sheep and one of your sheep goes missing, wouldn't you just leave the 99 sheep and go and look after that one sheep until you found that sheep? That is the heart of Christ, that we go and look for that lost person, that one that is drowning. Because, you know, we don't say it anymore, but there's a heaven and there's a hell. Either we're going to heaven or we're going to hell. And hell will be terrible. You'll be screaming every moment of your life. The demons will come and pull the flesh off your body and it will grow back, and you will be in torture for eternity. And we don't want to rescue people, because it's not liberal to say heaven and hell anymore. We are only allowed to say heaven. So we don't talk about hell anymore because we don't want to frighten people. But there's a hell and people are going to hell and we're not praying for them. We're not reaching out to them because we don't care anymore. We've become Europeans. And I really believe this is what God wants us to do. In 2 Corinthians 5, he says, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." So the love of Christ should compel us. And I think if you're in this place where you don't have a heart for the lost, just come forward and we pray with you, that you just can get meet with Christ again, to have your first love again, that you can have the love of God that will compel you to go and to reach out to people. Now you probably think, where do I start? How do we do this? What do we do? But 1 Timothy 2 verse 1 says, "First of all then, I urge you that supplication, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people." In other words, you talk to God about people before you talk to people about God. We start praying, say, "Lord," and we as elders did this on Friday morning. We said, "God, bring those people who do not know you to us, that we can set the example, that we can bring them to church." And we're praying for that now. But we start praying and say, "Lord, give us a heart for the lost." And if you have a neighbor and that neighbor, and you reach out to this guy, and if you don't know how to disciple them, and he explained to us, an apprentice, a blacksmith apprentice will come in, and the blacksmith will show the his apprentice how to do it, and he will make a sword. And then he will say, "Okay, now you try and you do this bit. Okay, just do that and do this." And he teaches him. And then eventually this guy can make his own sword. But then when the teacher goes away is when that apprentice can show someone else to make a sword. Then he knows this guy knows what he needs to do. So for us, take someone's hand and say, "I don't know much, but I know this. Come walk with me." And come to foundation, come to Bible school, bring them to church. Just start inviting. And as you come, because you will have a heart for this person, you will think, and the person asks you questions, then you say, "Okay, I'm not sure, but let me find out for you and I'll come back to you." And that's how you learn. That's how you become and you get the heart and you start getting the answers to give to people, because you have a heart for that one person. Because you just know, you just want this guy to leave the gambling or the drinking or the drugs. And you can see this thing is destroying this person, but you don't have the answers, but you know Christ do. So whatever you do is you start praying. You have such a heart for this person, and then God's Spirit comes and he starts changing who you are in the who you are, that you become his disciple. Because Luke 19:10 is the verse that I want to keep with you or leave with you, and it says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And this is the verse that I want to put before you. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And what we've decided to do is every third Sunday, we're going to have an outreach Sunday. We'll go keep the message simple. And we won't do funny things unless God tells us to. But we're going to reach out to people. We're going to bring them in. And all of us must be focused on that new person and say, "Who are you? Where do you come from?" Not on ourselves, but to start having a heart to reach out to people. So next Sunday, I want to encourage you, pray and ask God, "God, show me that one person that you whose life you want to touch," and start praying for that person. And I just want to encourage you again to look at the book of Acts. God talks about miracles, he talks about angels, he talks about the power of God. We've become a lifeless church. And something that Henny said that really caught my attention, but he said, it's like a child that's being molested. And that's all that that child knows. And then he goes out and he probably molests his own children, because that is how we've been brought up. We've been brought up as a powerless church. We don't know the difference anymore. But this is where God tells us how it should be. Go and read Acts again and see how what it looks like when God operates, when the power of God operates, that we can ask God, "God, that is what we want. We want this. Help us. Bring us. What is it in me that you want to change?" And, you know, Friday morning, God gave me this word that I really think is very powerful. But David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back into Jerusalem. And as they brought the Ark of the Covenant back in, this guy Uzziah, I think his name is, he touched the Ark of the Covenant and he died. And David was very upset. Why did this happen? And he wouldn't want to bring the Ark of the Covenant back in. And then he prayed and he realized that where the Ark of the Covenant was standing, those people were being blessed. So later on, he repented and they went back to the Word and they read the Word. And they saw that the Levites, only the Levites was supposed to touch the Ark of the Covenant, but they had to prepare themselves first. They had to be prepared. And I feel God is saying to us as a church that we must be prepared, that our character must be formed, we must be sanctified, because the Ark of the Covenant is the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's the glory of God. God wants to bring in the Ark of the Covenant, but we're not really prepared. Our hands are still a little bit dirty. And He wants us to cleanse it so that we as priests can bring the Ark of the Covenant into this church. Because this word that God has given us, Mark 16 verse 20, that they went out, not the pastor, they went out and they preached everywhere. While the Lord worked with him, and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. I really believe this is the word that we must really pray and say, God, this is the word that you've given us. So as the ushers are just going to hand out the communion, I just want you just to ask God, because I think all of us are maybe here not where we should be in terms of who are we discipling. Maybe you've just come to Christ now and that's different, but there are people that you know that do not know Christ. Do you have a heart for those people that they can meet the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you just focused on your own desires and your own needs? Have you become a European? Or are you someone with the heart of Christ who wants to reach out to the lost?
Okay. Ek wil net iets share wat ek die naweek beleef het ook by Awaken was. Ons het gesing Hosanna en ek het net die vision gekry dat ek iewers sit en iemand kom hardloop aan en sê, Jesus kom, hy's op pad, prepare the way, he's coming. En ek staan op en ek hardloop en ek weet precies waar die pad is en ek gaan staan daar en my palmtakke, alles, ek is reg, hy's op pad en ek hoor die, soos die perde hoeve, ek weet die gedree en hy's op pad. En sorry, ek staan so en ek kyk om en ek sien ek is alleen. Ek dink, waar is die mense? Waar is hulle? Jesus kom, ons staan hier so. En, sorry, na rikkie toe, of en ek staan en ek lee later en ek gaap en ek is verveeld en dink, wat gaan die aan? Waar is allemaal? En ek sien toe so oor die heuwels, die kom hulle aangehardloop. En my vriende en die mense wat die Here ken het toe, mense gaan haal. Die Christen het gegaan en die wat hulle by mekaar gemaakt het, hulle het gesê, Jesus kom saam, hulle gaan by mekaar maak. En ek het nie, ek het op my gestaan, ek ken hier al lang, en ek was so verveeld, ek het nie, en ek het besef, toe allemaal was saam is, besef ek, maar ek het het gemis. Ek het nie gegaan en mense genooi, en ek het gedink, ek is van, ek ken hier, ek het die Heilige Gees, ek is reg, ek staan vir jare reg langs die pad, en ek wil vir jou vrou, waar is jy volgend? Staan jy al jare langs die pad, jy is reg gered, reg vir hemel. Of het jy eers gegaan en eers jou mense gaan haal en sê die Here kom en deel in die joy. Dis al.
Okay, in die week het die Here my ook net oortuig van dat ek baie confusion partykeer ervaar omdat ek nie 100% net glo dat sy woord is waar nie. Maar toe ek net deur hierdie ding bid toe, toe wees die Heere net my prentjie van Moses, en dat hy, sien toe net hoe die Heere om in doeke toe draai, en in die mandjie sit, en dat die dood om, death passed over him, die Heere het om gered, toe al die babiekies nou, toe al die babiekies vermoor is in Egypte, en toe wees die Heere vir my, maar hy was toe in die Egypte, wel in die Farao's huis, en he grew up in the ways of the world, en he got, He basically knew everything about the world. Hy weet of hoe die dinge daar gebeur het en hy het die dalkie kos van daar geëet en so. En toe die Here, toe kom haar konfrontasie dat hy moes kies tussen staan hy vir die Egiptenaar of staan hy vir sy mense, toe hy die Egiptenaar doodmaak. En hy is toe weg en moes in die wildernis invlug. En vir 40 jaar en toe is daar 'n brandende bos ervinding, waar die Heere gesê het, gaan nie terug gaan na jou mense toe. Ek het jou gekies om die deliverer te wees. Ek het jou gekies om die ander wat nog slawe is en wat bou in 'n ander koningsglorie om hulle te gaan haal. En jy is die deliverer en jy stotter dalk en jy stamel en jy is alleen. Maar ek stuur vir jou helper, ek stuur vir jou Aaron en jy moet teruggaan en jy gaan sê vir Farao om my mense te laat gaan. En daar gaan baie signs and wonders wees en jy gaan dink baie keer dat die stryd dalk nie gewen word nie. Maar ek sal op die ou met my mense uit Egipte lei. En toe is die hele volk uit Egipte uit. En het is soveel so dat die Here op die ou en deur die Rooi See al daai destruction van Egipte het om utterly sy glorie, jy weet, destroy. Dat alles waarin die Egiptenare hulle hoop ook, die wêreld hulle hoop plaas, het die Here kom toemaak deur sy deliverance, deur die Rooi See. En toe die Here net gewys ook, ek het spesifiek vir myself gebind, dat die Here ons roep as Mosese, en dat hy, maak nie saak wat jy dink, ek het nie genoeg om te gee, of ek het, maar die Here wil jou oprig as hy deliverer. En ek bid, en ek glo vandag, of toe ek daar sit, toe glo ek, die Here sê net vandag, het hy brandende bosse ervaring. En ek vertrou die Here, Heilige Gees, praat vandag, oor hierdie ding.
I just want to add something that I learned from Amanda recently, but it's so obvious, but the fact is God wants to redeem everybody. He wants to bring us in complete light. He wants to change us completely around. And I don't know if you know who that Pastor Morris is that comes in the evening, but we are talking very seriously about becoming a partnership of Budget Church with us, that we will walk in a partnership and that we will start helping him to disciple his pastors and we can start planting churches in that church in Umzamo, and then we're talking about two other church plants now already. But these two pastors, he spoke to them and the one had pride and he said to him, I'm going to remove you as a pastor. And this guy got so upset. But then when he realized that there is pride in his heart, he said, oh, pastor. And he went on his knees and he said, please forgive me. And God restored them. And sometimes, you know, it's just this word where the shepherd comes and he grabs that sheep that's rebellious and he brings him closer and this sheep wants to run off this cliff and this shepherd needs to break its legs because the sheep is going to be lost. And he breaks the legs so they can care for him, that the sheep can have his heart again. And we don't understand that about God sometimes, because we think God wants to do our thing. And if we are blessed, then God is blessed. And that's not always the truth. So I just want to share that with you as well. Sometimes your leg gets broken, you don't understand why is it? Is it sin? Or it's just because a little bit rebellion. God loves you and he wants to redeem you and he wants to bring you into his kingdom. And that's why sometimes bad things happen to us and God allows those things to happen to us, because as was shared, we're standing at the and waiting for everyone. Where are they now? But we're doing the thing that we want to do and not what God has called us to do. So I maybe just want to share that with, but keep in mind that God wants to redeem all of us. And I think that's such a blessing for us. If you're here, you are here because God has called you to be here. He wants to raise you up and he wants to send you. Just open yourself up for discipline now and again. Sometimes God comes and he says, not that. And he sorts you out and you cry and you come to your father and you cry with him and he says, I love you. That's fine. You just needed to be sorted out. My kids are the most behaved after I've given them a hiding. So I actually love giving them a hiding because they're so well behaved afterwards. So maybe I'm a bit twisted there. But sometimes discipline is really, really great for our children and for our growing up as well. That we understand it's not because we are bad. It's because God loves us. Because he wants us to become these superhuman who are like Christ. Because we are his disciples. And that's just the process that we need to walk with. But we've become so changed by humanistic, we are right. It's my right. I know what's right. But we don't. Unfortunately, we don't. And we must allow God to change us, that we become like Christ. And this is why the humbleness is so important. Because God says, I resist the proud, but I give grace to the humble. When we come to a place, Lord, not my will, but your will. And I pray it all the time. I said, Lord, look at the meditation of my heart and the words that comes from my mouth. That we come to that place where we say, Lord, we surrender completely to who you are. Yes, I just want to ask you to stand with me. And say, Father, thank you, Lord, that we can be part of the body of Christ, Lord. And Father, thank you, Lord, for your love, that you are good and that you are faithful, Lord, and that you are an awesome God. Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this word that you've given us and that you've come to confirm this word, Lord, that your heart is for those people who are drowning, Lord, that you have come to search and seek the lost, Lord, that your heart is not for the righteous but for the sinners, Lord. Lord, that our good works is filthy rags before you, Lord. That only in you, Lord, we are become righteous, Lord. When we surrender to you, we become righteous in you, Lord. But you, Lord Jesus, you are the key, Lord. And it's also that thing, Lord, that you have the keys, Lord. We must come and ask you, Lord, that you will open the doors and you will, in you, Lord, in the authority that you have, Lord, that we can stand in that place, Lord, that we will stand in the place that you've called us for in your authority, Lord, because you've paid the price in the name of Jesus. Lord, thank you that we are part of the body of Christ, Lord. And as we eat this bread, I thank you that you unite our hearts and our minds and our souls and our spirit, Lord, that you unite us to your heart, Lord, that you reconcile us to you in the name of Jesus. And thank you, Lord, that even now you're speaking to us about what you want us to do, Lord, that you're saying, I love you, I'm with you, I will protect you, I'll be with you. Wherever you go, I will be with you always. Let's eat. Yes, Father, thank you for the blood, Lord, that you say that the devil was overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and we did not try to save our lives to the end, Lord, but we surrendered, we picked up our crosses, Lord, and we denied ourselves, Lord. But Lord, I want to bring before you, Lord, and I ask that you will show us the power of God, Lord, that you'll open our eyes, Lord, to see you, to see who you are, Lord, to see your love, Lord. And Lord, as I was challenged even last night on the dinner table, Lord, about your love, Lord, when everything is against you and people talk, hate you and they talk against you, that love changes that, Lord. And love brings families together, Lord, and love changes people's hearts, Lord. And Lord Jesus, you are love, Lord. You have love. And I pray, just Lord, as we drink the wine, Lord, that you will just come with your power, Lord, and with your love, Lord, and bring us a sound mind, Lord, to have the minds of Christ, Lord, to stand in that place that you've called us for, Lord, that we will be fruit trees, Lord, that bear much fruit, because the Father will be glorified by that, Lord, because we have much fruit, not because we're trying and we're forcing it, Lord, but because we are healthy, Lord, because we are in you, because we abide in you, and you in us. Thank you, Lord, for paying the price, Lord, on the cross. Let's drink wine. Yes, Lord, I just want to give anyone the opportunity, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you have maybe backslidden and you realize you need to respond, I'm not going to try and catch you out. I'm just going to ask you to come forward that we can pray with you. If you have a specific need that someone pray for you or for your family, or for breakthrough, there's lots of people that can pray for you. I'm going to ask my friends from Standerton, maybe if they don't mind, to come forward, to come and just pray, that if you want to receive a blessing, to come and stand with one of these ladies, that they can pray with you. If some of the other men will just come forward, if you need prayer this morning, or you want to make a decision, or you've made a decision in your heart, and you want to confirm this with God, and say, God, today I make a covenant and I stand in this covenant with you. I don't know how to do it, but I know that you will do it. I just want to encourage you to come forward that we can pray with you.
Church, this morning, just want to give us an opportunity that the Lord has spoken to us twice this morning through the DVD and through Mariska's story. And I think we are at a point of we must make a decision. This morning I want to ask you, think of your own life. Don't think of the people out there. Are you sitting in the dinner hall of that massive ship? Or are you the one on the boat that is willing to jump out? This morning we are all Moses standing before the bush. God is challenging us this morning to make a decision. Are we going to enroll to become fishes of men? And if our hearts has grown cold in that area, we are backslidden. Sorry to say. So this morning the Lord is asking us, are you sitting in the boardroom or are you actually wet with the waters of the storm? Do we smell like fish? Do we smell like sheep? We're busy in the harvest field. So this morning, as Theo has just made the altar call and we're going to dismiss, don't drink coffee before we prayed for you and you actually dealt with the Lord, because this is a personal thing. Amen? Make a decision now and ask the Lord, Lord, if my heart is grown cold in that area, help me please. Amen.
Yes, Father, I speak a blessing over this congregation, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for our mothers, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your love, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you will be with us, that you will protect us, that you will keep us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.